We are continuing with engaging God and how we engage God and are on this journey together. As you can see, I believe it's an adventure because we don't know what's coming next a lot of the time. But we are going to discover how to engage God and the spiritual realms around us, in us, and the heavenly realms. And we're going to follow two pathways of relationship and responsibility to enable us to actually do that. And we're at module 3, which is first love. And we've done two sessions, or six sessions, but two parts of that, house of God. But we are a house of God, a dwelling place for God, and a mountain and a gateway. And also we've looked at first love and what it is to engage first love as a person and an experience. And today we're going to look at the river of life. And I really enjoyed this session. I can remember going back, 20 years to where we were in sort of revival situations and other revival situations where it's always described as a river. And that river is always fun. So we're going to look at the river of life today. And we're going to look at living water. And then we're going to look at engaging the river next week and then engaging the Holy Spirit the week after that. So I want to just start with a quote from Bill Johnson. Repentance is a sustained change of perspective about the nature of reality. And we looked last week about the need to change our mind about the things we think, feel, and engage with to engage a new reality, which is a reality of the Spirit and the reality of the fact that the heavenly realms are open up to us and we have a new way of engaging with God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?" Now, if it stopped there, it would just be a question. But then it says that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So we're not just looking for instruction from some religious system. We actually have the mind of Christ operating within us so we can engage and experience the presence of God and who he really is. So our minds have been renewed or are being renewed from the old to have the mind of Christ, which is the new, a whole different way of engaging the whole realms of the Spirit and who God is. So we're going to look at living water, and this is often equated with the river of life. Now, Jeremiah 2:13 says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." So God describes himself as the fountain of living waters. Now, that is a very active description. There's nothing stagnant about that. It's flowing. It's living. It's alive. It's a fountain. And that's who he describes himself as. But people have ignored that source of life. And it goes on to say, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. See, other than the source of life which flows from heaven, there is no life that sustains us. The question is, what is the source of our life? Where is it coming from? And therefore, how alive are we? Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of life." Again, a really lovely expression of who God is and how we can engage him. Joyously drawing water from the springs of salvation. And that's what God wants us to do. To draw joyously and to experience that as an overflow of abundance that comes from our relationship with him. Amos 5:24, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And we know the foundation of the kingdom of God, the throne of God, is righteousness and justice. And that's found in the flow of the very life of God himself. And it flows down as an ever-flowing stream. It never stops. Question is, are we going to drink from it? See, both relationship and responsibility flow from that living water. Now, first love is about an up-close and personal relationship and an encounter with God himself. We've seen that as we've engaged God within our own spirit through that first love gate. It has to be up close and personal. When I first began to look at this module, it was only going to be one session. But as I open my first love gate every day, the presence of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, actually they embrace me and wouldn't let me go. because there was deeper depths of revelation about how to experience the presence of God, each of the expressions that God presents himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, in a deeper way. So I stayed there, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Father, intimately embraced me so that I would know them more personally and more deeply. And I thought I knew them before, but this opened up a whole different realm. So I could know their frequencies and fragrances and personalities, who they actually are, because they are real people. Now, we think of people, obviously, the people we sit around here. Now, they're not people like that, but they have real, active, living personalities. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Psalm 124:8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So there's something about the name that gives us access to the person. So when Jesus told his disciples to go out into all the world in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples, the description of how people would become disciples of all the nations was through baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So being baptized into that name is being baptized into the revelation of the person. And we can be baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, we may have been baptized in water, and we may have been baptized in the Spirit, but have we been baptized into Father, Son, and Spirit? And there's a different dimension to those experiences that God wants us to have. And the promise was that he was going to be with us to the end of the age. So this experience of being baptized into the name of God actually is available to us right now. So baptism in the name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name carries the true record of who God is. God's character, nature, personality that we can experience. Yod, He, Vav, He. We engage that, the four faces of God and their expression in the name of God. We can actually be baptized into that experience. And therefore we can engage in being in his name. Yod, He, Shin, Vav, He. So we are actually in his name and in the experience of who he really is. And that has to be much more than just reading about him in a book or having some sort of experience in our past. It has to be a daily living reality of encounter. So baptisms. When we're baptized into the Holy Spirit, there are things that we're baptized into. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When we're baptized into Jesus, we're baptized into the way, the truth, and the life. When we're baptized into the Father, we're baptized into judgment, justice, and holiness. Now, as we engage being baptized into Jesus and the Father, then we will look into those. But we're concentrating today on the Holy Spirit in the next couple of weeks and what it is to be baptized into righteousness, peace, and joy. When we're baptized into him, and then we're clothed or skinned with the armor of his presence. Now, if we're baptized and skinned with nine skins, nine levels of armor, then we should be pretty secure and pretty safe. But if we don't know what it is to be baptized into the name and into the person, then we won't understand the reality of that experience. So Romans 13:12, put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 6:7, the armor of righteousness. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God. So we can actually experience the depth of relationship and the reality of that relationship as armor or being surrounded or being in him. So let's look at the river of life. Revelation 22:1-2. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So that's describing where this river flows from. This river flows from the very place where God rules, of his throne, and the place of salvation represented by the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. So the very source of life is where this river flows from. bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. So this is an ongoing, never-ending source of life. Fruitful every month. Not just seasons, but every month. With fresh, new fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So engaging this river is going to bring healing and wholeness and life to the world that we live in. Guess where that river needs to flow from to engage the world? Us. That's why it's important that we understand how. Genesis 2:10. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. Eden is God's garden, and that garden is in the realm of heaven. The garden that was given to Adam and Eve to tend and cultivate and to expand from was on the earth. And the heaven and the earth were in overlap at that point in time before sin, before their sin and the fall. So this river flowed out of Eden, which was God's garden, flowed into their garden, and then flowed out of that garden as rivers. Both gardens were connected to the realm of the spirit, of the realms of heaven, by that river of life which was flowing. And so it is for us today. That river now flows out of heaven, flows into our spirit through that first love gate. Then that river becomes rivers and streams within us. That river can flow in the garden of our heart, because our heart is now expressed as the garden which we need to tend and cultivate. Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and the soil of the heart, four different types of soil. So there's a garden that we have to look after, and it's our heart. And that river can flow as rivers of living water flowing through us to the world around us, bringing life wherever it goes. We'll look at that in the future. John 4:10. Jesus answered, this is to the lady who was at the well in Samaria, and that was Jacob's well. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So Jesus is the source of that living water, and he can give us that living water today. But we have to receive it as the gift of God. Drinking living water is not a one-off event called salvation. It's an ongoing lifestyle with the source of life itself. John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, because that comes from a source that can actually hold no life within it. The source that they had dug, cisterns that can hold no life. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. So this becomes an eternal source of life, that we never have to look for other sources of life again, when we draw and drink from the living water that he gives us. The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So when we initially drink that water, it actually becomes a source within us that is described as a well. Now, we think of a well as something which we dig in the ground and we put a bucket in it and pull it up. But this is describing it as it's springing up, it's flowing. It's not a stagnant well of water. This is a source of water that is springing up to eternal life. This gives us the quality of heaven in our lives now on earth, if we can drink it and if we can engage it as that source every day within our spirit. John 7:37. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So again, here is the source. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, from his innermost being, so from the very inner depths of our being, our spirit, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit. So he was describing the interaction with the Holy Spirit as a flow of living water, as a flow of rivers of water. And this is how we can begin to engage with the Holy Spirit. as life, as active life, as God's gift to us of eternal life. The river of the Spirit is in us as a well, as a fountain and a spring, but that river within us is also a person. It's the source of life itself. And we can engage with the person of the Holy Spirit as we drink living water and engage with the river of life. So we engage the Holy Spirit as a person, not as a cosmic force or a cosmic consciousness. The Holy Spirit is not simply an influence or an impersonal force that emanates from God. We can actually know him, feel him, sense his character, the very essence of who he is in relationship. You know, when I first got baptized in the Spirit, I didn't really realize any of that. He just gave me gifts and he empowered me, and it was just, I could feel power, but I wasn't connected to him as a person. But now that has changed through engaging on the inside and in my spirit with actually the reality of his presence there. We need to get to know him. We need to ask him to reveal himself to us. Now, I've not engaged the Holy Spirit as a personal physical body. That's not how he engages with me. But that does not make him any less personal or real. You may well engage him like that. For me, it has been learning to discern and connect with him and get his personality. And it's, for me, full of life and energy. There are many symbols that represent the Holy Spirit's presence. You'll find lots of them in the Bible. Here's a few of them. Water, river, living water, the dove, peace, comforter, wind, the breath of life, wine, joy, oil, anointing, healing, fire, purifying, righteousness, light, revelation, teacher, cloud, pillar of cloud, guidance, direction. Help. Many descriptions of the person. So he engages with us in many different ways. And so when you encounter him, as you engage, he may appear in any one of those things to you. And you may feel any one of those different aspects of who he is, depending on the season that you're in and what he's doing in your life. But the reality is he's a person. So some of my personal experiences, and when I just let him embrace me and just allowed him to flow around me, were expressions and words that flowed into me that it described what it was like to engage him. You know, he is my supply and my source of life. My fresh mercy new every morning. My daily supply of God's grace. His divine ability to help me fulfill his will and purpose and my destiny. My living water, my source, my well, my fountain, my spring, my stream, my river, my insight, my revelation, my direction, my guidance, my abundant life, my heavenly flow, my heavenly connection, my filling, my overflowing, my creativity, my zero-point energy, my joy, my extravagance, my exuberance, my effulgence, if you know what that one means, my avoidance, my abundance, my vitality, my joie de vie, the joy of life, my eternal life source. See, when I engaged him, there's an excitement of creative possibilities and potentials. Because the Holy Spirit to me is a character that takes me to places I've never been before. He causes me to fly. I don't know if any of you have been flying in dreams or in realms of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit just takes me by the hand, you know, a little bit like the snowman, if you remember that story, taking the little boy and flying. You know, I think the song is about flying in the air. That's what the Holy Spirit is when I engage with him in certain circumstances. Just an excitement, creative possibilities and potentials, the energy of life, passion and zeal and enthusiasm, the fullest expression of hope. The creative image of God expressed as inspiration, motivation, the pioneering spirit of adventure and discovery. That's describing how I engage with the Holy Spirit. Now, he may well be different for you. I don't know. but he wants to reveal himself in those ways. You know, he is an expression of the supernatural abilities and the character in the gifts and the fruit that he gives us. The revealer of the true awe and wonder of life itself. You know, when the Holy Spirit took me on places in the realms of heaven, he took me out into the galaxy and the stars and showed me things. He showed me the enormous and enormity of God's creation. And that's just a dot within who God is himself. But he reveals himself in that way. Unveiler of the mysteries of God. You know, there are more mysteries left to be discovered than we have even thought or imagined or could think or imagine. So much more. He is the breath of life, pneuma in the Greek or ruach in the Hebrew, the wind of heaven, our spiritual oxygen. Without oxygen, we die. Without the Spirit, we die. And when our spirit does not have the Holy Spirit, there's nothing flowing. Romans 4:7. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we can drink and be immersed in the living water as the river of life and engage the oil, the fire, the light, the frequency, the breath. But what can we expect to experience? What is it that we will experience personally when we engage with the Holy Spirit? Well, when we engage with the Holy Spirit as righteousness, what can we expect to experience? Being cleansed, being washed, being purified, being clothed in white robes, all the stain of our guilt, shame, condemnation, sin, removed and washed away, made righteous. That's what righteousness is. Blamelessness, innocence, guiltless, sinless. Quality of being morally right or justifiable. Impossible? No. Impossible on our own? Yes. Impossible with God? Absolutely not. Why? Because we can live in the sphere of God's gracious covenantal relationship, which is a description of righteousness. The sphere of God's gracious covenantal relationship with us. Romans 5:19. For as through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one, talking about Jesus, many will be made righteous. See, we're made righteous. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't do anything for it. He makes us righteous. Therefore, he makes us as if we never sinned before. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we're baptized into him, we become his righteousness. Which means, and it's good news for anyone who's committed any sin. Any of those here? And some of us have committed lots of sin. It's good news to know that that can be not counted to you and you don't have to give an account for it because Jesus took it. And Jesus can wipe the slate clean and make you as if you were pure and spotless and had never ever sinned. And that's how he views us. Our righteousness is based on what Jesus did on the cross. The righteousness that was Christ is counted or accounted to us. So when you account for sin, there's nothing on our debit side, just on our credit side. Everything is positive in him. We are seen as righteous in the eyes of God. So we are washed and cleansed and made new and restored, cleansed inside and out as we drink and are immersed in that living water. As we're baptized into him, he dwells in us as the very source of eternal, everlasting life. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. So how did he leave peace? Because he left the Holy Spirit with them. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So the Holy Spirit, as our peace, enables our hearts not to be worried or anxious or fearful, but he gives us peace that remains, rests with us, and brings us into a sense of wholeness. What is this peace? It's to be found in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. But what is it? Wholeness of life and body. Health. Right relationship or harmony between two parties or people, often established by a covenant, the new covenant of peace that we live in. We're now in harmony with God. Prosperity, success or fulfillment. Victory over one's enemies or absence of war. All descriptions of peace that come through being baptized into the Holy Spirit and engaging with peace. See, our relationship with God is one of harmony and wholeness because we've been made righteous. It is the goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. This is within us. So we can have peace when everything else is in turmoil. We can live in the eye of the storm because we contain peace on the inside. Peace is not the absence of war, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. What about joy? John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. I love the sense of joy that you get from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that comes out through laughter, and we have that joy. You know, when we used to dance in the river and play in the river of life, it was a joyful expression, and laughter was often the result of that. But what is this joy in reality? One of the descriptions is extreme, overwhelming sense of well-being and happiness. Joy is the deepest total contentment based on relationship and true experience of identity and purpose, not circumstances and situations. Joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. In who? In the Holy Spirit, who's in us. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Because when we know on the inside that we have the solution to every problem, then we can praise God in every situation. And that releases joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, there's a strong connection between water and light and the Spirit. And when you're engaging in some of the realms of heaven, it's almost like you don't know what you're engaging in, but it's like water and light and Spirit. And some of the places I've been in recently, I can't describe. When I asked God to describe my spirit, he gave me a very strange thing. He said this: my spirit is liquid light, interspatial matrix and interface. Now, I've not quite fathomed that one out yet, but I'm working on it to understand what that means. But it's really talking about how we can connect with different realms of existence and reality in my spiritual dimension, because who I am is spirit. But the river of life is a crystal river, and crystal contains facets which can have encoded revelation. You know, we have crystal radio sets. There are crystals within many of the things that we use to carry information. You see, there is information encoded within the river as a crystal river that has light and spirit within it. The river of life, the living water, is a revelation or manifestation of the spirit that we can actually experience. See, we're born into darkness. To see the light, to reflect the light, to walk in the light, to become light bearers, to be sons radiating glory. There's a process of engaging in the reality of who God is so that we can be like him. You may still be in darkness, but today light is available. Mixing metaphors, you may be thirsty, but living water is available today. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our good works don't save us, but our good works express the life of God that comes within salvation through us. This is a very practical outworking that must flow from us. We don't want to keep what God has done on the inside and keep it to ourselves. It has to flow. Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is the picture of what happens when we get baptized into water. We die to the past, and we embrace resurrection life. And our life is now in God. We're baptized into him. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, in an old way of thinking about this verse, you would think that means, well, I have to die and I have to go to heaven, and then when I'm in heaven, then I'm in glory. But we know heaven's open now. So we know that God wants to reveal himself as he reveals us in that glory as a reflection or a radiation of him, his presence in light. It is time for the sons of God to be revealed. The whole of the created order is waiting for us to be rivers of living water, to be radiating light. Our spirit is given life by God's spirit, the very breath of life himself. Our spirit receives God's light and becomes light. That light of truth opens our eyes to reality. By drinking living water, I receive a well and a fountain. Then my spirit, our spirit, can become a house for God. His presence, we can become that mountain, we become that gateway. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And do you know what he did first? He breathed out. And then what he did? He breathed in. And then he breathed out. And he breathed in. That's what we have to do on a daily basis. Breathe out and breathe back in from the source, the breath of life that's within us. We breathe out that life into the world, breathe back from the source, and breathe out. That's the very rhythm of life. John 20:22. And when he had said this, this is Jesus talking to his disciples after he was resurrected and came back to them, surprisingly, before the day of Pentecost, when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what God did on the day that he created Adam, Jesus did so that we could receive the breath of life again, the very Spirit of God again, and we breathe him in. Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." This is our source. This is the rhythm of life. And when you actually listen to someone breathing, it is like they're actually saying Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. There's a video that went around many years ago of the Numa series, and it was called Breath. And it described this whole process of breathing in and out the life of God. The river of life, living water, life of the Holy Spirit, his breath. We can breathe this water, receive life-giving spiritual oxygen. See, it's not a literal river. It's not H2O that we are breathing in and drinking in. We're breathing in and drinking in life. Abundant, ever-flowing life. 1 Corinthians 6:17. When we are joined to the Lord, when we're yoked, when we're intimate with him, when we open our first love gate and engage him, we become one spirit, flowing in his life. This very source has to flow through us. John 4:13 again. Whoever drinks will never be thirsty. But there's no flow without drinking. We have to prime the pump. You know, you have to drink first. It won't flow unless you drink. So whether you've ever met God before, you have an opportunity to drink that living water. Whether you've met him every day of your life, you still have to drink and flow in the living water. That's where our source comes from. Our problem is when we draw from another source, when we draw from the world around us, when we draw from other relationships, when we're drawing from the other things that the other tree offers, the other pathway offers, the knowledge of good and evil. And that's a path that leads to death, not life. God wants us to follow the path of that river of life, the tree of life, which brings us life. The more you drink, the greater the flow until it gets deeper and deeper in us. We can draw from the well, release it to flow from our innermost being, because that river is in us, and we can be that river flowing. So my thirst for the things of this dimensional reality will cease when I taste and see that he's good. The more I drink of real water, the more what the world offers tastes like stagnant rubbish. It really does. You don't need it when you have the source of crystal clear, the river of life flowing. So we can access that within us. See, that living water engages me with the eternal dimensions of the reality of God and reveals me as a new creation, living and connected to that eternal heavenly reality. I'm connected to the spiritual and heavenly realms through this river. The question is, do we know this gift of God? Are we connected to the flow of that living water? Do we drink from the internal well, spring of that eternal life? Do we experience the constant flow of the source of life, the Holy Spirit, flowing? Those are questions only you can answer. But I know the truth is, if we drink and keep drinking, then this will become our way of life. Ezekiel 47:1. We'll look at this whole passage much more in another session. But he brought me back to the door of the house. Think of the door, first love gate, in our spirit, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold. See that it trickles. Most of us have lived on a trickle because we never knew how to open the door. It trickles under the gateway from the kingdom within us, but until we open it, it'll just be a trickle. When we open that door, it becomes a fountain and a river. That's what we need to drink from. That's what we need to be baptized in. Step into it. Let it flow. It becomes deeper, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, out of our depth and flowing with life. You know, it flows from our spirit into the garden of our heart. And we can engage it there as the quiet waters of Psalm 23. Within our garden, it is the source of life that enables us to cultivate and tend our garden and plant and see our garden flourish. Resurrection, life, and power as we're baptized into that river. You know, this river is swirling with grace and faith. Now, it's difficult to describe that if you've not been in it, looking at it at a subatomic level, which I have, and that's what it looked like. A swirl of life and energy, grace and faith. And when you mix that with the word of hope and expectation of the promises of God, it produces anointing, a charge of power in our hands, through our words, vibrating with power and heat, electricity, light, oil, fragrance, all those things flow from us. And most of us have experienced some of those. When we lay hands on someone, our hand gets hot or vibrates with energy, or oil flows from it. You know, when we had revival meetings here a few years ago, you know, I had fragrant perfumes coming out of my hand. You know, I was quite perturbed about that initially, being a guy. But I got used to it being a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit being released as fragrance, fragrant oil, light. That's what God wants to flow through us when we engage that river, all flowing around us to the world. Let's draw from that very source of life, the very throne of God. That river that releases heaven's reality around us, the peace, the shalom, the wholeness, the rest, where we can be baptized, immersed, filled to overflowing. Just going to read two scriptures and then let's get into engaging this personally. Psalm 1:2. And this is the scripture that equates and relates to Revelation 22. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law he meditates day and night. Don't think of regulations, but think of words of life. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Is that what we want for our lives? To be seen as one who prospers, who has life flowing? Psalm 46:4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Who's that describing? Yeah, point at yourself. That's describing me. It's describing you. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So every day when we open that first love gate, morning by morning, there is a river whose streams make us glad, bring us joy and peace and love. And we can engage in that river. So today, are we going to open ourselves up to God? We're going to choose to embrace first love, choose to give ourselves to him, to renew the very nature of our reality, choose to engage him in intimacy and relationship, choose to drink living water flowing from Jesus now. So I want to encourage you just to begin to think about Jesus right now in front of you. Engage Jesus, who is offering you living water to drink. That living water is flowing from him. I want you to just close your eyes and just still yourself and just think of Jesus just kneeling before you with living water flowing from him, from his hands, from his innermost being. Just right in front of you. Just fix your eyes on him. Fix your heart on him. Fix your attention on him. And as you picture him there, maybe you've never drunk that living water ever before, but he's offering you living water so that you'll never have to thirst again. Maybe you've drunk this water for years and years and years, and yet it never, never, ever stops flowing. And it never, ever stops giving you deeper and deeper revelation of who he is. So just cup your hands and drink. Just take that flow from him. And just drink that living water. And as you drink it, just feel that water filling you, that life, that energy, flowing into your spirit, becoming a fountain within you. Just let it energize you. As you drink it, just let it cleanse you and wash you from the inside out. And as you drink it, just feel his forgiveness, his washing away all your sin, guilt, shame, condemnation. Just feel it all being cleansed and washed away. Just feel that new life just filling you right now with joy and with peace and with love. You are a new creation. Old is washed away and the new has come. Just feel his life. Feel it flowing. Feel it surrounding you. Feel it in you. That water in you is now a fountain. It is now a source. It's flowing out of heaven and flowing into the kingdom within you. Just think of it trickling under the door within your spirit right now. With Jesus just knocking the door, with the Holy Spirit just waiting for you to let him flow into you. So picture that door. Picture reaching out to the handle and just open the door and just see that fountain flowing, that water flowing from the door, flowing into your spirit. Flowing ankle deep. You can lie in it, you can splash in it, you can drink from it. As you do, just feel the light and the energy, the frequency vibrating around you and in you, energizing you, strengthening you. Just feel the very cells of your whole being restored, renewed, repaired, life, the energy of life, his life. Just draw from the well of salvation, wholeness, deliverance, safety, security, peace. Just drink his presence. Just let his peace rest on you. Just feel the weight of his peace. Just removing all fear, all worry, all anxiety, bringing security and safety, just enveloping you. Now, just drink of that stream that brings gladness to your spirit, brings gladness to your heart. Just let his joy fill you. Just let it bubble up. Let it flow. Overflowing, abundant, effervescent, well-being, joy. The joy of the Lord becoming your strength, your shield. Just feel the Spirit, His personality, His life, His righteousness, peace and joy. Just be baptized deeper and deeper into Him, deeper into who He is. Just breathe in the very oxygen of heaven. Just breathe it in, deeper and deeper. And as you breathe it in, that river flowing through you takes it to each part of you, to your mind, to your emotions, to your will, to your conscience, to your imagination, to your eyes, to your ears, to your nose, to your mouth, to your hands, your whole body flowing with life, His life, His presence. As we carry on during this time together, don't be a stagnant pool. Be a flowing river. Let that life flow from you. Let that resurrection power emanate from you. Release the very glory of God within you to fill the atmosphere of this room, to touch those around you with life. You know, one can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000, and 3, 100,000. Exponential flow when we come together. Just let that flow today, and just continue to experience that. And let that be, to each of you, a daily experience of opening the first love gate and encountering the very presence of God. Amen.